This is Infants on Thrones.
Throwback Friday.
Throwback Friday. Throwback Friday.
Welcome back to Infants on Thrones. Throwback Friday. In a world where minisodes average around 6,000 downloads, this minisode from Randy had only 2,300. And it's a shame. A crying shame. A damn, stinking, effing crying shame. It almost made Randy decide to quit. And that would be the worst damn, stinking, effing crying shame in the history of damn, stinking, effing crying shames. So here it is. With new, never-before-heard infant commentary, we give you, Homacnophobia. What is stupid title?
Throwback Friday episodes that we're gonna do. So, like,
The
Homacnophobia, which again, I'm sorry for forcing that title on you, Randy, but what was going on in your world when you wrote that minisode? Like, why did you want to share this with our listeners on Infants on Thrones?
Glenn was channeling Ira Glass there. What was that? That was intense.
Yeah.
It hadn't been long since I'd finished the show. What's it called? 6 Feet Under.
Oh yes.
Yeah, and that was a show that kind of transformed me because I had gotten to a point where I was intellectually completely wholly on board with homosexual right, with gay rights and with all those sorts of things.
But I still was. You were on board with the bigotry, or you recognized the bigotry and you were against the bigotry?
I was on board as an advocate for gay rights,
right,
and how it was immoral and wrong, and how, you know, it's even wrong that gay people can't, in most American societies, can't show the public displays of affection that we heterosexuals take for granted. Holding hands and kissing, you know. As long as it's not gratuitous, most people just think that's sweet. But there's a very significant chunk of the American population, they're grossed out, and it's repulsive, and they find it offensive. And that bugged me that I couldn't get the emotional part of my brain to get on board with my intellectual part of the brain, because I would try to watch gay movies, and then when they would start ripping each other's clothes off and making out.
He didn't deny it. He did not deny that.
I've only seen gay porn once, and I was so drunk.
Don't explain yourself. Take a whole
laughing.
What? It's fine.
You're welcome. And it was Andrew Ainsworth that forced it on me. He took advantage of me.
You tied me down in a chair, man.
You really dug yourself out of that hole there, Randy.
Yeah,
that
was
masterfully
really
done. Way to go.
Thank you. I'm like a ninja. And then I watched my wife and I watched 6 Feet Under, and really, what the change that happened inside me was that these characters weren't just gay guys, you know, getting it on. After 5 years, I really cared about the Michael C. Hall character.
That is such bullshit. Who were you taking care of when you sent Taylor away without even telling me? I mean, what am I, the dog?
I made a decision, and it was my decision to make.
Your decision? Why was it your decision?
It's my family.
I thought I was your family.
Well, you're not.
And I don't know the actor that played his cop boyfriend, but I became emotionally invested in these characters. And I don't think there's enough gay characters in movies and TV where you really get to see them like on a three-dimensional level.
Well, there's not enough good ones. I was having this exact same conversation with
characters.
Someone. They're the Jacks from Will and Grace, and some caricature of
right, like the guys from Modern Family.
Yeah, that's
right.
And Randy, thank you for describing the boyfriend as a cop.
Why?
That was just probably the best choice for describing him.
Oh, because he's black.
So homacnophobia was. I was just impressed.
He was tall. He was athletic.
Yeah.
Dark hair.
The athletic
mustache. Had a mustache.
Yeah. So basically, just to sum it at the end. By the time we got to the end of that series, when those two characters would make up and just start making out, instead of being like grossed out and wanting to change the channel, I was like touched, and so that was a change that I thought. Is the barrier, one of the biggest barriers for most gay bigots in America is they don't see homosexuals as human beings. They don't know enough of them to be invested in the, you know, caring about the welfare of this gay person. They just see them as an other. Yeah. They're otherized. And that was really my point.
And that show had the exact same impact on me. So I'm right there with you. Cool. So let's listen to Randy's minisode, Homacnophobia.
This is Infants on Thrones.
Minisode.
Hey, everybody. This is Randy, and I experience a phenomenon called hypnagogia, where in coming out of sleep or going into sleep, you suffer from hallucinations. Often you're paralyzed. Sometimes you act out the dreams.
Another little bit of trivia for this episode. I created the background eerie music that you're hearing in the beginning. And if you listen closely, you'll hear it's actually the Spirit of God in like a creepy minor version way. I was kind of proud of it. It was around Halloween, and my kids really liked it too. So.
Last year for our Feared podcast, I shared an experience where I felt like I was attacked by a demon. It was a very powerful experience in my life, and you can go back and listen to it if you want to. A couple of my favorite experiences of this type was one of them was when I was at BYU, and I was asleep in the bottom bunk, and I had a dream that I somehow found myself in a glass casket. As soon as that door was shut in my dream, with all four limbs, I violently launched up on the top bunk, sending my best friend and his bed off its hinges, flying across the room, where he woke up midair and landed on the desk below. I actually wish that guy was here to tell the story from his perspective, because he is a hilarious guy and a really good storyteller. One of my other favorite experiences of this type to share is when I was newly married and we were visiting my wife's parents. And so we were sleeping in an unfamiliar place, which probably led to my uneasy sleep. And I had a dream that my wife was trying to kill me. I then woke up, but not realizing I was awake and still thinking I was in the dream, grabbed the nearest pillow, put it over my wife's face, attempting to kill her. And she woke up and easily knocked the pillow off, and I felt stupid. But it's always fun to tell people at parties, especially after a couple of drinks, that I've actually tried to kill my wife unsuccessfully. But by far, the type of hypnagogic hallucinations that I have experienced in my life involve arachnophobia. I've had three different types of arachnophobia hallucinations. The first and most common type is I'm paralyzed in bed, and spiders the size of my fucking hand are descending from the ceiling. When I snap out of the paralysis and actually wake up, I find myself flailing in the air trying to swat away all these gigantic spiders. The second kind is that I have a hallucination that spiders have actually infested the bed. They're everywhere, all over the bed. And when I snap out of that, I find myself grabbing the nearest pillow and just swatting all over the bed. And the third and most rare kind is when I actually get out of bed and chase the spiders along the floor and even at the baseboards. Now, probably a lot of you are thinking, my poor wife, but she's actually kind of gotten used to this shit and doesn't really phase her anymore. It's just part of being married to Randy. And it helps that she's just fucking awesome. So what is it about spiders? Why do they cause me to have all of these ridiculous fear-induced hallucinations? After all, I don't have any experience in my life like Jeff Daniels in Arachnophobia, where he says his earliest memory was when he was 3 years old in his crib and his spider crawls up his leg and he was paralyzed with fear and he couldn't move. I don't have any kind of experience like that, or at least I can't remember one. And I don't have this same kind of heebie-jeebie reaction to any other insects or snakes or any other creepy crawly things. It's just spiders. And intellectually, I'm totally on board with spiders. I know that they're vital to the local ecosystems and to the ecosystem of the world in general. They are the most prolific hunters on the planet. They provide a valuable food source to lots of animals, including especially birds. They're also amazing and diverse. They produce silk for their spider webs that pound for pound is stronger than steel and is even being researched to see if we can find a way to replicate it. And even their venom is being studied in the field of medicine for potential beneficial uses. And lastly, virtually all spider species are harmless to human beings. So why the irrational fear? The more I thought about it, the more it just came down to what I call the ick factor. I find spiders icky. The way they move, the way they look, it just sends an uncomfortable chill down my spine, and I just have to resist this urge to smash it as fast as I can. So even though intellectually, my rational brain can appreciate spiders and can actually respect spiders and for all they do, but it just can't get on page with my emotional part of my brain. Something inside me is disgusted and has a fear of spiders. And the more I thought about it, the more it started to remind me of another kind of phobia that I once had when I was a believer. And that phobia is homophobia.
In the Book of Mormon, we learn that wickedness never was happiness. Some suppose that they were preset and cannot overcome what they feel are inborn tendencies toward the impure and the unnatural. Not so. Why would our Heavenly Father do that to anyone?
I was taught that homosexuality is an abomination to my God. Homosexual acts were a sin second only to murder. And that the acceptance of homosexuality is what led to Sodom and Gomorrah getting destroyed. Or at least that's what I was taught. After all, that's where the word sodomy came from. And I bought it. And I believed it. So much so that I spent a lot of time, a lot of my own personal time, making phone calls and knocking on doors, trying to convince people to vote for Prop 22. In California in the year 2000, which was the predecessor to Prop 8 in 2008. But there was a seminal moment in my believing life where I was at USC in dental school, and one of the professors there was flamboyantly gay, and he became my mentor. And this one day in clinic, he kind of cornered me and asked me a question. Everyone knew I was Mormon. There was four of us, me and three other Mormon friends, that were always seen together. We always hung out. We were the Mormon boys. And this professor's question wasn't, do Mormons accept homosexuality as an acceptable practice? It was more of a poignant one. He wanted to know if me and my Mormon friends made jokes behind his back or jokes behind closed doors about gay people, making fun of gay people. So I was presented with two choices. I could either lie and save face for the church, because honestly, that's what I was thinking about, is I didn't want the church to have a bad name. Or I could tell the truth, because the truth was we had made many jokes about this guy. I chose the former and felt horrible about it. I even told that story of shame in church a couple of times as a lesson of how to be more Christ-like. Now, fast forward 5 or 6 years to 2008. When Prop 8 came out, and then I had my faith crisis and left the church. And when I left the church, I became fully intellectually converted to the gay rights cause. I had shed all of the intellectual baggage that came with being raised Mormon, and I was able to look at the issue with a more intellectual, rational, and empathetic approach, which then made me feel guilty about my history as a homophobe. And I went through a weird phase where I almost felt like the president of the gay fan club. When I'd be on the street and I'd see someone who was obviously gay, I had to fight this urge to go up and hug them and tell them how much I accept them. And I understand now how that's very condescending and patronizing, but that's just how I felt. How I feel now can be represented very succinctly and hilariously by my favorite comedian, Louis C.K.
I never understood people judging people for the way they have sex. So some people get angry at homosexuals just for being gay. They get mad at them. I never really understood that, you know, because they're just having sex with each other. It's like I can understand if gay people were just running out in the streets, just fucking people in the ass willy-nilly, just like a pestilence, like without asking, you know. Like you're at the ATM. Hey, what the fuck? Jesus.
But there was something that was still lingering, still bothering me. I felt like that if I was intellectually on the same page as the gay rights movement, then I wouldn't have a problem watching a normal gay movie with the same kind of amorous scenes that I'm totally comfortable with in a heterosexual way. So shortly after my faith crisis, I found myself surfing the channels on DirecTV, and I came across a gay channel called Logo, L-O-G-O. When I turned it to that channel, there was just a typical two guys on a first date scene. They started out talking awkwardly at the doorstep of the date. Then one of them invited the other in. Then one thing led to another. They started making out and ripping each other's clothes off, and I found myself changing the channel in disgust. And once again, I felt that icky factor settling in. And I found this bothersome. I made me feel like a hypocrite. I couldn't get my emotional brain to get on the same page as my rational brain. And just like with spiders, I could see that there was no reason to fear homosexuals or homosexuality. Just like with spiders, I could see only benefits. Not just for the gay people themselves, but for their families. And preventing all that unnecessary suffering when a gay child comes out of the closet. And I think society as a whole would only benefit by the acceptance of homosexuality. So why did I still feel icky? But then about a year later, something important happened. My wife and I started to watch a TV show that had long been canceled on Netflix called 6 Feet Under. Those of you who are Dexter fans will know who Michael C. Hall is. In this one, he doesn't play a tough serial killer. He plays a timid homosexual mortician. And his boyfriend is named Keith the Cop. Well, the first couple of seasons, I found myself grinning and bearing the homosexual scenes that involved making out or having sex. And it was just because the show was just so damn good. But then something happened to me by the fifth season. When I'd see a scene like this...
You can give a fuck for once in your life about somebody besides yourself!
Where David and Keith get into a normal argument that any heterosexual couple would get into, and then have makeup sex. Instead of turning away in disgust or at least cringing, I found myself saying, "Aww." And it was during that time of watching that show that my brain was purged of the ick factor. I no longer found public displays of affection or even passionate love scenes between two gay men as icky. My emotional brain had finally gotten on to the same page as my rational brain, and I felt great. I no longer felt like a hypocrite. And I think this icky factor is a pretty common thing amongst heterosexuals, especially those that are sheltered. And I think it's what makes religious leaders, and let's face it, the only significant opposition to equal rights for gays is religion. It makes it an easy sell for religious leaders to get up in front of their congregations and condemn homosexuality.
We teach a standard of moral conduct that will protect us from Satan's many substitute counterfeits for marriage.
Because, you know, the congregation already feels icky about it anyway, so it's a pretty easy sell. And my hope is that someday homosexuality will become so mainstream and so common and so accepted that gay couples will feel safe and comfortable walking down the street, showing the same kinds of public displays of affection that we heterosexuals take for granted.
I like spiders, I like worms. They don't sting and they don't spread germs. Worms have no legs, spiders have eight. I think spiders and worms are great.
I also dream of a day where gay marriage will be legal in all 50 states. A day where gay teenagers don't see suicide as an alternative to coming out to their parents. and the admirable campaign, It Gets Better, will become obsolete because it will be no longer necessary. And shows like Will and Grace and Modern Family have made major inroads in this direction, and I think we're going to get to this place eventually. But that it be sooner rather than later is my humble prayer in the name of logic, reason, empathy, and all that is good. Amen.
What we once thought we had, we didn't. And what we have now will never be that way again. So we call upon the author to explain. Our mixomatoid kids straddle the streets. We've shunned them from the greasy grind. The poor little things, they look so sad and old as they mount us from behind. I ask them to desist and to refrain. And then we call upon the author to explain.
Why would our Heavenly Father do that to anyone?
Well, rosary clutched in his hand, he died with tubes up his nose and a cabal.
So, Homagnophobia was one of the first podcasts that was published after I became an official infant. So, this is one of the first ones where I got to listen to the version before it went up on the podcast feed. And I was blown away by it. I really, really enjoyed it. I remember listening to it. I was grocery shopping at the time. And Randy expressed something that I struggled with for a long time, which is this kind of icky, that ick factor that he described is something that I definitely felt for a long time. And honestly, I'm a little bit jealous that he says that he's completely over it, because I'm not like totally over it. I still have this weird thing. I mean, I'm ashamed of it, but I still have this weird thing where I get uncomfortable with that kind of thing, with those kind of displays of affection. But you know what? I kind of get uncomfortable with those, with like heterosexual people displaying that. Like when people kiss on TV, gay or straight, I always kind of feel weird about it. Maybe I just hate intimacy? Oh my god. That explains so much. Yeah, Randy, great job with Homagnophobia, man. Good call.
Cut. Okay, let's
all
do
right.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
So how about that Mormon Psychic Part 3 where Krista channels no. Emma Smith?
Why
huh?
is that on the list?
Huh?
Yeah, that will never be re-released.
Really? Hey, oh, no. That is a Throwback Friday. See, channels Emma Smith.
Because I told you I don't want to talk about these old people.
Sorry.
They're like jumping on a. She's showing him jumping on a moving train that's preparing to crash. It was my goal to redirect the train. She's like redirecting it, and because I believed in the beginning and even in the end that Joseph could have steered that train towards good and towards truth. I always felt God's presence with him, but he chose to ignore that God in favor of like a crowd of people around him and pleasing that crowd. That is when we grew so separate. It's because he has this little entourage and she's not part of it. She didn't want part of it. That's why you're seeing me as antisocial and having nothing good to say, that I don't like anything. But in truth, I don't like the entourage. I don't like those around him. I don't like those feeling, they're like whispering in his ears, telling him what to prophesize about. It wasn't even coming from him. Some of it didn't even come from his imagination, because he couldn't say no and push people away.
Did you ever listen to it, John?
No.
Glenn, there's a reason why some of these didn't have as many downloads.
I don't know.
Hi, this is Hillary from Normal, Illinois, and I'm a public librarian who every other day sees groups of missionaries come in and sit only 10 feet away from the 289s, which is where all the fun books on Mormonism live for you fuckers who never go to the library. You can comment on this episode on the website, infantsonthrones.com, and if you really like what you hear, give the Quorum a 5-star rating and write a short review on iTunes. I did. Anyone for the closing prayer?
Thank you for listening to
Infants on Thrones.
Infants on Thrones.